Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 968. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Heck of luck, Kevin. How about yourself?
As we say a lot, there was a lot of wrestling to cover over the past time period that we normally go over. But you and I did not watch the majority of AEW. So we are just going to go ahead and at least to start the show off here, talk about some WWE SmackDown. And I think the biggest talking point here, Paul Heyman ends up getting put through the announce desk at the end of the show. This has been building this direction for a while now. And the additional, when Paul Heyman goes with the haggard, I'm going to grow a beard for like 2 days before I do this bit. Like, it always looks like this perfect level of disheveled and nervous. Like, it's been that way the whole time because, like, he definitely had that at times in ECW.
Well, no, I think that was completely legitimate. He was losing his mind and stressed out every single day.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Situation was definitely different, but the look of the beard was the same.
Yes. Yeah, the look of the beard is the same. Yes. The look of a man who hasn't slept in days. Yeah, is just terrified of everything, basically. Anxiety ridden, depressed. Yes. He pulled that trick out again, and really to incredible results. I mean, they really, really did something there. They, you know, they built it up for months. And you know, having to have that segment, you know, go the way that it did, you know, for Solo to have lied to him again regarding Jacob Fatu being there, to then making everyone acknowledge him. So this whole angle to me is not going in the direction that I thought it was. Oh. I thought Solo was always going to be a stand-in for someone else, meaning The Rock. Oh. But no. He has deluded himself into believing that he is the tribal chief now. Including somehow at some point retrieving the lei from Roman Reigns. Now, granted, it's just a lei you could buy for 30 cents, but the way the look on Paul's face told you that we're supposed to believe that he got that from Roman Reigns. How? What happened to what has happened to Roman Reigns? He has gone completely silent, other than a tweet. Well, other than a few tweets here and there, but those aren't. I guess that's we don't consider those kayfabe.
Yeah. When you're talking about the death of your own father, I think that we can.
Yeah.
Throw kayfabe out the window.
Yes. Right. Yes. We absolutely.
And there might
can.
Have been some. I don't know what other tweets that have been out there from Reigns, just because I think, you know, he's like, hey, I'm a big enough star. I don't need to be on here yapping all the time.
No, he has never been that way. No. And good for him. but you know, we are now to believe that something has happened to Roman Reigns. There is a reason he has been completely silent. There is a reason he is not talking to Paul. Now, granted, this is where we get into like attempted murder, kidnapping. What's happened here? But of course, it's wrestling. We forgive it.
yep, that does happen.
So yes.
Well, and you just really get into that. I think we always try to have a healthy dose of speculation, but there's also just like, you know, because I'm with you. Like, he is definitely not a stand-in now. And just the way the crowd has been slowly doing the more and more "we want Roman" chants.
Oh yeah, the crowd has absolutely knows where all of this is headed. Without a doubt. And they put that into overdrive with what they did on Friday. Yes, Roman Reigns now has to return at some point. Do I think we'll see him this weekend? No, I think that's still too soon. I think that still won't be until SummerSlam.
Yeah, I could see him being something of a surprise at SummerSlam. Like that could be something you could sell me on doing. Have them in some type of schmoz match, and when things look bleak, Roman Reigns comes in for the save or whatever.
So destroying Paul Heyman, getting heat by beating up Paul Heyman. What a world we live in. What a topsy-turvy world we've been at, we're in since WrestleMania. And they're playing it perfectly. He's not an athlete. He's 58 years old. It's you're beating up a civilian. It's not okay. Except the times baby faces did it, then it was okay.
But did they ever really lay a hand on him? I mean, I know that
I
there were
mean,
definitely threats.
let's see. Well, Brock put him through a table once. Kevin Owens gave him a stunner at least once.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe more than
Owens did give
once.
him a stunner. Yeah, because I was trying. I know that some people, most of the people have laid off for the most part, but yeah, there have been the fair share of, well, maybe not fair share, but limited use of those baby face attacks.
It's definitely been very, very limited. Limited. Paul Heyman has had little limited physical interaction most of his career because he was never an athlete in any way, shape, or form. He couldn't. He wasn't a. He was never a Bobby Heenan. He couldn't even really fake it the way that a Jimmy Hart or a Jim Cornette could. You fake their way through, physical activity. He was always never. He was never flexible. He was. He never flexible. Never had he hop in his step. Never. So,
Yeah.
the bumps he has taken in his career were never exactly pretty. Probably more akin to Vince McMahon, maybe than Shane McMahon. You would say,
Yeah,
as far as
it's
just like a sack of just a sack of potatoes or a sack of shit, just going down. But that is what
yeah.
made this so, that that's what made this so effective because he is so old. He is so overweight. And so, physically inactive, for the most
Yeah.
part. Never, not particularly interfering very much in matches at all either, in recent years especially.
Yeah, like I mean, he hasn't even really done much of the, jump up on the ring apron gimmick that a lot of managers and or valets do these days to even cause a disturbance. Like he's been more just moral support.
Yeah, he absolutely has. He's been the wise man.
Yeah.
He gives the sage advice, and Solo, of course, over time has not listened to him, not listened to him, not listened to him, but then demanded his complete loyalty, and to be co told, called his tribal chief, which Paul finally could not do. We have Paul Heyman sh showing integrity for the first time in his life. So again, so big moment there.
Yeah.
And it definitely shows that there's a deeper relationship between Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns than just business. And that is what is certainly going to drive Roman Reigns going forward. It is going to be interesting because when Roman comes back, the place is going to explode. And he is going to probably be, let's be honest, in his appearances, even though he will still probably be more part-time, he's going to be more over than Cody.
Exposure is good and bad. Like you've got to be able to get to that place where Roman Reigns is that you can do that. I do think that Cody is still establishing that, and I feel like every big star has gone through that phase, honestly. I mean, John Cena did, and I mean, what, maybe Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle are like two exceptions to the rule for the most
Yeah.
part.
Maybe, yeah.
But I mean, well, yeah. Anywho, yeah, so yeah, Roman Reigns will be the number one guy. I mean, he's still the top dog in the WWE.
Yeah,
Like, until he
it's definitely.
is completely gone, he is the number one person.
Yeah. Roman as a face is going to be interesting, and in how that aligns with Cody, and where, because you could see a time people are going to start maybe wanting Roman to have that belt again as a baby face.
No.
What happens when Rock is when the Rock is back in play? Which match is the more is seen as the bigger match to main event WrestleMania? And which match should happen first? Should Rock beat Cody for the title first and then defend against Roman Reigns at WrestleMania? Should Rock and Roman Reigns happen earlier? But then you figure then would Rock have to win and face Cody? Does Rock still come back again in 2026 to face the other one? I mean, that I feel like is the least likely. I don't think he'll want to come back a third year for all this, but we'll see. Yeah, there's definitely a lot to all this. And once again, we are not putting The Rock in this bloodline angle. They've made that clear that Solo is going to be the leader.
Oh.
But Jacob Fatu, as has been stated over and over again, is likely going to overshadow Solo as time goes on, and he is going to be the real threat to Cody. He is going to be the real threat to Roman Reigns. And good.
Yeah, it was something that I hadn't noticed until you started talking about it more, is the non-use of Tongaloa is almost hilarious already at this point.
Yeah. Oh,
Like
God,
when you
that video of him, what's the match he had with Okada where he's like barely touching him? That video started going around again. I think it's not that long ago, but it's a little longer ago. You've seen it, right?
No, I don't think I've seen that.
I think it was a match with Okada
It wouldn't
where
surprise me.
Tongaloa's offense is so was just so light. It was just absolutely embarrassing. His strikes. It was just completely embarrassing. He was just missing by a mile, I think.
Yeah, well, I even think that just to extend that a little bit more. Like everyone else put a little more of their own flavor on their acceptance to Solo Sikoa, because I think Tama Tonga kind of had his vibe, Jacob Fatu had his, and I'm just sitting there, I'm like, this is just bland, dude.
I'm wondering if they're having buyer's remorse on this one, or at least they just got a guy who's gonna sit at ringside most, stand at ringside most of the time, and because as far as I can tell, his in that six man tag graphic, he is more he is off to the he is in the back to the side. He is not going to be in this match, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, he's definitely given off fourth man vibes.
But when they need an eight-man tag, when they need to go to war games, it will be fine.
Yeah, he'll get through it, I'm sure.
If him and Tama Tonga being Gorillas of Destiny reunion in the SmackDown Tag Team division, I guess that's fine too, because it's not like SmackDown anyone cares about the SmackDown Tag Team division. It's just another it might be a belt for them to carry to solidify this bloodline run. But and of course, speaking of solidifying this bloodline run, that's another reason why I don't feel like Roman Reigns can come back already. It's just they need to take the next 4 weeks basically and put and pile heat on the bloodline, in particular Solo. Solo probably needs to pin Cody in that six man tag. It'd probably be for the sake of SummerSlam, it's a mistake if he doesn't. No matter how much some people may cringe at the idea of Solo at this point being in the main event of SummerSlam, but it looks like it's happening, so people are just gonna have to deal with that.
It was not something I necessarily expected, but it's definitely headed in that direction. Yeah, no matter how much people may prefer Jacob Fatu in the long run, that is definitely not happening in the short run here.
No. In yeah, that's the long run, and in the short run, they gotta do these matches like a six man tag on Saturday against all your SmackDown top baby faces, without him showing much vulnerability. Yeah,
Oh.
like every time he's involved, every time he gets in, he has to wreck everything. He has to wreck everyone.
Well, yeah, and that's something that I feel like that's still kind of around a little bit, isn't it? The fact that Solo, has he still, like, he's very rarely won since the John Cena victory.
That is the problem. Yes, that has been the problem. That is the problem with all of this. Yes, and the most prominent thing he's done, he did between that and WrestleMania, was get put through a table by John Cena at WrestleMania. Yeah, and then we immediately hit shift. This sudden shift to him being the leader of the bloodline, this new bloodline.
It's been kind of weird that they've gotten this deep into it and they haven't given him any big wins. Like
No,
that.
he still hasn't gotten any big wins. You are right about that. I mean, I think he's pinned Kevin.
Are
I
you?
think he's pinned Kevin Owens once. I think he's pinned Kevin. He pinned Kevin Owens in a tag match or two, I think. Maybe there was a singles match he won.
I do
But
think that he's had a win or two here or there, but just not enough. Like you said, like even now, like it is kind of weird. Like you can get him in there storyline wise, but yeah, he really could have used some extra wins
Yeah.
before SummerSlam, and doing them between now and SummerSlam, I guess, is the best thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not about the match. Solo is not going to beat Cody Rhodes for the title. It's about the moment when Roman Reigns returns at the end. That's what it will be about.
That about sums it up. So yeah, that definitely chewed up a large swath of SmackDown this past week. There was also a couple of Money in the Bank qualifying matches. I guess I missed when Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax became besties, but
Oh, that's been it's been happening gradually, but yeah, I mean, I don't totally blame you if you missed it.
I remember one segment, but I guess I was surprised that it raised to the level of Nia Jax at least aiding in the victory of Tiffany Stratton, would you say?
That's to some degree, yeah.
I
I
know
mean,
Indy
it, I,
Hartwell definitely helped also.
yes. Indy Hartwell definitely supplied the bulk of the interference and the causation for Jade Cargill to not win this. I mean, the whole idea of doing all these qualifying matches, triple threat matches, has just led to so many fuck finishes. It has been some. There have been some. They've had to come up with some creative screwy finishes for these things, and maybe some uncreative. It's definitely, but it's definitely the vast majority of the finishes have been screwy.
Yeah, that has been a bad byproduct of these triple threat matches, and I guess it's kind of funny to tie it in with the men's end of things. Oh man, there are a lot of names in there for a lot of possible shenanigans at Money in the Bank.
Oh yes, there are. There's definitely more shenanigans with the men than the women. The women's is definitely not as star powered. You look at it and just like, yeah, wow. It's kind of a. Is this where the women's division really is right now? especially with Becky and Rhea out, and Charlotte Flair, I guess, also still out. Yeah, this is where we're at right now, as far as in terms of having to have a match with six people in it. Now, granted, I know they don't want they. I know they. Nia Jax is obviously already preparing for a SummerSlam title match, and they didn't want Bianca or Jade in it. they're going in another direction with them. So some things are more understandable. It's definitely looking to me like it's going to be tippy time.
Yeah, because I don't have the list of qualifiers in front of me right now.
I would say it's either her or Chelsea Green kind of backdooring or doing getting that briefcase by accident. Those are the only two acceptable scenarios. Because you know, I don't really see a baby face woman getting it. Just makes no sense.
I don't know if I fear for the women's winner or not, just because I feel like they've made it an extra point to emphasize that it's been 100% cash-in rate for them.
Yeah, and that it is true. Not
for the men.
I mean, Tiffany could, especially since she's so tied in with Nia Jax, who is about to, you know, build towards her match with Bayley. Having Tiffany with that briefcase hanging around Nia's corner could add a level of interest to it, if not, in fact, you know, Tiffany cashing in at SummerSlam, which would be a full circle thing for Bayley, because she masterminded Io's cash in last year, so then she gets cashed in on this year.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a nice little an interesting turn of events for sure.
So yeah, that one seems like a likely scenario,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, I could certainly see if Tiffany grabbing the briefcase and succeeding at some point. That's not the one I'm thinking we're going in the different direction, but we'll get there. Added to the men's, also added to the women's, Naomi, you know.
Oh, decent
little win there. Again, kind of a screwy finish. Other people getting involved.
Jade Cargill really helping out in return.
Yeah.
Against Indy.
Right. And then, you know, Naomi, you know, good person to have in this match. You know, great athlete. You know, can do cool stuff. You know, high-flying stuff.
They have a real mix of young talent and experienced talent. Because I guess I'd put Io, Chelsea, and Naomi in the experience category, and the more newbie category of Lyra, Tiffany, and Zoe Stark.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little bit of hubbub with the choice of Zoe Stark. Are you in the pro Dakota, give Dakota Kai a chance club, sir?
I know they're doing something with damage control, but what they're doing also possibly involves the eventual breakup of damage control. So I can see why people aren't happy about that. Of the three options, by far Dakota Kai, I would have been happy with. I have made my feelings on Zoe Stark clear since she was in NXT.
Right.
And Ivy Nile does nothing for me, so yeah. From a standpoint, I've always liked Dakota Kai. I enjoy her work. I would have liked to see her in a feature spot, because it does feel like, when this damage control run ends, she may have the least going for her, and be followed up with the least, you know, positive direction.
I mean, she has definitely been getting the side eye. It's another one of those situations where, I mean, the women just have the two championships, you know, the one on each show. And, oh, man, I can't believe I'm saying the words, maybe they need another championship out loud. Like, I don't know if that would fix the problem.
I don't think it would, because then you'd need one on each show, and it just wouldn't make sense. Yeah. And then there's not enough.
Because, yeah, the floating championship would be more of an ideal situation. But with them splintering off, like, I guess I Are they going to do as much crossover when they're. I would guess yes. Like, everyone's got to be on board with that, right? All of their new partners, between Netflix and CW and. Oh, well, still NBC. Yeah. Because we're staying on USA for SmackDown, at least.
I don't know how Netflix, but Netflix is going to want all hands on deck for their shows. That they're for especially in that WrestleMania season when it happens anyway. I
Yeah.
imagine we're gonna get SmackDown guys on Raw. We're gonna get Cody. We're gonna get Roman on Raw. It'll be quite a bit, at least in those first few months.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't know why though, like the floating championship has not done terribly well. Like
No, it doesn't. No.
the women's tag team championships was supposed to be that way, and it felt like, that
It's.
was kind of a good championship to have in that category.
Yeah, but it reflects the lack of the lack of volume in the women's division. That it has to be that it has to be that way. And that it's the
Oh.
only championship that does that. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's never
that's
totally made
true.
sense. And right now, for presentation reasons, for priority reasons, taking those belts off of Bianca and Jade was a terrible mis was a terrible mistake. And it doesn't look like they're gonna rectify that. It doesn't look like they're it looks like they're closer to breaking up than getting the titles back now. With the way things seem to be going.
Well, I don't even know if that part's true necessarily. Like, I just think that it's just such a weird spot because they have mentioned the championship rematch that Jade and Bianca won it, but then both of them just keep on doing single stuff.
Right, and Bianca completely blew it off several weeks ago before her
Oh.
triple threat match. So that's where I'm thinking that the breakup and maybe a Bianca heel turn, but they're not fully embracing that yet. We'll see where that all goes. But putting the titles on Kylie Rae and Isla Dawn. Wait, Kylie, is it Kylie Rae? Is that her name? Oh my God, I can't believe I blanked out her name.
I'm just like, oh no, I forgot it. Because no, that was her name and they changed it and I am blanking.
Ah, crap. Alba Fyre. Alba
Yeah.
Fyre.
Yep.
Yeah. For a hometown, home country pop, when they've done nothing to get them over to the main audience. I
Oh.
mean they're not even witches anymore. So they're just random chicks now.
And they haven't done great follow-up since then either. On them, like I feel like they've maybe beat down someone at some point,
Well,
but
no, they've been. Well, yeah. Well, they were beaten down last week by Damage Control.
oh, yeah.
Then they played a role in Dakota Kai losing.
Yep.
Then it was Lyra, Kayden, and
Oh.
Katana who were with who jumped Damage Control in the show. Not Alba and
And
Isla.
Nyla.
That was a weird. Like, let's let we. In some ways, I hate advocating for people being let go, but. But we have to, in some way, give up on this whole Kayden Katana thing. It's just not a thing. They're just not going to be a thing.
They're not going anywhere that they haven't gone already. That's
Right.
for
No,
sure.
no, no, no.
Like,
And I.
it's kind of weird. Like, I don't know.
Why wouldn't why isn't it the women's tag team champions with Lyra fighting Damage Control? We've already made an angle. Then why are Damage Control picking on the women's tag team champions if they're not going to go for the women's tag team championships? And it doesn't make it having Kayden and Katana be Lyra's backup makes no sense when your tag team champions are kind of just withering in the wind.
I guess it's because
Explain
they're
it to me, Kevin.
heels. Because they're heels, I guess they
Whose
can't
heels?
team. Alba and Isla.
I'm pretty sure they're baby faces.
Oh, are they supposed to be baby faces?
I think they are. I think so.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Then yeah, they should have been the
I
natural
don't know.
backup. I guess because they kind of still sort of did the witch thing, like yeah. Anyway, I think that's their problem. Like if the two of us can't figure out exactly what they are and what they're supposed to
Yeah.
be now,
No, it's
it's
again. They traded the Bianca Jade run for this hometown pop, and it was a mistake because it's Alba and Isla aren't the least bit over in front of the main audience, and Bianca and Jade aren't ready to break up a feud yet. Jade's not ready. Jade needs just tag matches are good for Jade in the short run.
Oh, yeah, it really seemed like the ideal place to have them for a
Yeah.
longer time period than they did. Like you said, like it they really just did that for hometown pop for some reason or another.
And we're not going anywhere. It needs to seem like we're moving super fast to rectifying that either. Which at the beginning, when it happened, I thought they were. I thought it was going to be by the time we got through with Money in the Bank weekend, those belts are going to be back on Bianca and Jade.
Well, and it's one of those situations too where like I don't even care. Like that should not be like, hey, this is gonna be a draw for SummerSlam. We're gonna drag this thing out for the biggest night of the summer. It's just like,
Nah, you know what?
no, this is a squash match.
Yeah,
Like
it would be a squash match. I don't think it's making SummerSlam. I mean, well, it's again, we're doing these three-hour pay-per-views in 5 matches. You know, SummerSlam is not going to have more than 7 or 8 matches, and you could
no.
probably start, checking them off now. Well, not exactly. Certainly after Money in the Bank, you'll be able to and. To start checking
Oh,
off, really checking off
matches.
what our SummerSlam matches are going to be,
Yeah.
and I don't think women's tag matches is making the cut, especially if Bianca and Jade aren't the champions.
Yeah, so yeah, it's really weird what is going on with that crew. All by talking about the Women's Money in the Bank match. Okay, the qualifiers.
Yeah. Well, at least we got through all those. But
Yeah.
in the men's qualifying for the Money in the Bank on SmackDown, LA Knight pulls ahead and pulls the trunks of Logan Paul to get a pinfall win over the United States champion. I assume that will become important as we head into SummerSlam. But for this weekend's purposes, I'm pretty sure LA Knight is not winning Money in the Bank.
Well, I think he was part of the aforementioned possible shenanigans that could happen at Money in the Bank. I would not be completely surprised if Logan Paul is a little salty about said pin and ends up in some way costing LA Knight a shot at the
Yeah,
Money in the
I
Bank
could absolutely see
briefcase.
that happen. There are quite a few. There's quite a lot of shenanigans. Yeah, you're right. There are quite a lot of shenanigans that could take place in that men's Money in the Bank match. Yes.
Yeah, 'cause I mean there's that Chad Gable does still seem to continue to be the main target for the Wyatt Six,
He
which
does. Well, since we're jumping all over, the latest video of Bo Dallas being interviewed by Uncle Howdy, he said it. Someone who abuses their talks about somebody who abuses their family, or degrade you know degrade by berates their family. That is the reason why they have targeted Chad Gable.
Yeah, so but he is in the Money in the Bank men's match.
Yes, he is, and
That
yes,
is some
so there could be quite a
serious,
bit.
serious shenanigans on deck.
Yes. That's added to everything else that could happen in that match. Yes. Now,
So that's
since
why
we're
I
coming,
was tying that together.
yeah, and let's see, yeah, because almost everyone in the Money in the Bank match has some kind of an enemy who could who might cost them the match. I mean, maybe Andrade doesn't really. Jey
Oh,
Uso, it depends
yeah.
on if his if. Well, let's see. He's not really feuding with anyone currently. But say old issues with the bloodline could always could always fester. They
Well,
enjoy they enjoy going on the offensive more than the Roman Reigns blood. Roman Reigns' bloodline was always on the defensive. It was always about protecting Roman and the championship. You know,
oh,
they made
yeah.
it clear these you know Solo and the boys just like to hurt people.
Oh, right.
And the point gets a little clumsy at times, I think. You know, having your baby faces, you know, talk about, you know, we didn't like Roman Reigns, but you know, we respected him in the face of, you know, these guys are just thugs, and you know,
Oh.
it gets a little clumsy sometimes, but it's been mostly effective. So yes, if they wanted to mess with Jay, I guess they could. Although I don't think, because once again, we've already got so much crap that could take place
What?
in this match.
Well, and not only that, but that's at least a factor that they introduced on Monday, and Chad Gable certainly introduced it himself, saying that Jey Uso could still be the target of the Wyatt Six. It certainly
There could be
hasn't
something to that.
it has not felt that way since Chad Gable has been more scared. But Jay also decided to completely get out of that situation. And since Nikki Cross only delivered the VHS tape, you could still leave that a little bit open for interpretation. There is still some family tie issues. Should you want to go there, and Chad Gable did point those out. So, Andrade and really Carmelo Hayes are the only two without any natural, like, outside interference options, because Drew McIntyre is definitely a number one on the. Could interfere be interfered with from yet again CM Punk.
But the way McIntyre, well, okay, let's get there. You Drew McIntyre winning his spot is the final spot in the men's Money in the Bank with a victory over Sheamus and Ilya Dragunov in a triple threat match. A match involving Sheamus and Drew McIntyre beating the crap out of each other and throwing in Ilya Dragunov. Shockingly a good match. And probably the least amount of shenanigans in any of the triple threat matches we've seen. To get us here, we've seen 12 triple threat matches in the last 3 weeks of TV to get us where we are.
Wow, that is a lot of triple threat matches.
Yes, we have. This might have been the least screwy finish of all of them.
Yeah, you're right. It was everyone just beating the tar out of each other for the most part. And these are three guys that definitely know how to do that and kind of enjoy it.
Yeah.
Sheamus does not enjoy the chops from Gunther anymore, but other than that, he's still up for some pretty serious beat down situation.
Absolutely, absolutely. But Drew McIntyre, you know, won his way into the Money in the Bank ladder match and promised to not only win, but cash in the very same night. Which is where I'm thinking he's gonna do it. He's gonna cat he's gonna win. Punk's not gonna push him off a ladder. He's gonna let him win this thing. He's gonna let him,
And then cost them.
but he's gonna let him jump. He's gonna let him jump the winner of the main event. He's going to let that bell ring. And then he's going to cost Drew McIntyre the World Heavyweight Championship again. That's the way you got to do it. If he stops him from cashing in, if he just stops him from cashing in, he'll still have the briefcase. The bell has to ring first. Because then the opportunity is wasted. And as I said, I would never usually be for them wasting Money in the Bank in the same night with a loss. But this is that one time. It would be absolutely perfect.
CM Punk could certainly save his shenanigans for later in the night and really cause Drew McIntyre more anguish than just losing out a chance at the briefcase.
So that's why I'm thinking, because once again, they wouldn't have Drew say that if he wasn't going to at least complete the first part of this. To me.
Right. It seems pretty natural. Like, because there's two guys that do not have natural enemies, Carmelo and Andrade, they are in there for looks.
Yes, they're in there for looks, and Carmelo might need a bigger ladder.
We already kind of discounted LA Knight from winning for the most part, like thinking that Logan Paul will probably have some part in that. And honestly, if you're on track to get the U.S. championship, why do you need the briefcase?
No, he doesn't need it. I mean, the only other person who could win it is Jey Uso. You know, they've already, you know, christened this whole thing Yeet in the Bank, and you know the t-shirts would sell.
And isn't he on the poster too? Don't they kind of have?
Yes,
like
he's on the poster too with it. Yes. So yeah, they could certainly go in that direction, but it's almost too on the nose that it actually would come about. So, I mean, he's my second pick after Drew. It would probably go Drew, Jay, Gable.
I'm with you. Like it definitely feels like. They're telling more of a story with Gable that I don't like. Money in the Bank would be a fine place for him to go, but I also don't see him winning the big championship as that first singles championship for himself.
No.
At least right now. Like, as much as I have enjoyed his work, this doesn't seem like the spot for him to really win, which, yeah, putting him third seems the most likely thing, or a good spot to put him in. I guess I'm with you. Drew is kind of the odds-on favorite, so him saying that does put on a great bit of significance.
Yeah.
And... I mean, this feud has really been running a long time, and it's been great. Like, they have really strung this CM Punk, Drew McIntyre thing out a very, very long time, without a whole lot of no in-ring interaction. Actually, I shouldn't say limited. All of the action that has happened has been outside of the ring.
Right. Yeah.
So, we will eventually get something in a ring. And honestly, I don't know when they schedule. Is Hell in the Cell still ahead of us?
I don't think they're gonna call it Hell in the Cell, but they're gonna. I think they're bringing back the Bad Blood name. That seemed like the rumor for October.
Okay, but I could. Yeah, even if it's called Bad Blood, I could see that.
Historically, Bad Blood pay-per-views have always been headlined by Hell in a Cell. There have been probably three or four, and they were all headlined by Hell in a Cell matches, yes. And yes, I can absolutely say that, yeah, perfect, you know, for Drew and Punk to be, you know, that Hell in a Cell match, or one of them, or, you know, if they just want to do one, which they should just do one, one big one, and promote the hell out of it. Yeah, it should be Punk and McIntyre. You know, then you can give Cody and the world champion, you know, lesser opponents, or even the night off, whatever, both of them the night off. The Hell in a Cell becomes the main event. Tag matches, Hell in a Cell becomes the main event. You know, and the SummerSlam, whatever happens at SummerSlam between Punk and McIntyre, which at this point, I'm not sure it's a lock that Punk's getting, getting cleared for SummerSlam. It doesn't, is he still not doing much in the way of physical action?
You can let him sell that beat down for a long time.
I mean, he's gonna show up on Saturday, so I don't so it's not really that long, but yeah. I mean, once again, they could always do the deal where, you know, it's the match isn't sanctioned, Punk has to sign a waiver, and
oh.
But of course, that's if he's legitimately cleared. They can still do. They can do that.
Right.
If he's not legitimately cleared, they're not going to let them. It doesn't seem like they're still in a place where they're going to go against the doctors and and let the match take place anyway. So this is actually gonna be kind of interesting. We've reached a fever pitch between McIntyre and Punk. Now, granted, once again, they can have multiple matches against each other after they have that first one. It doesn't, it's just a feud. That's what a feud is. It's not just a one and done match. One match and done. They've been, of course, been interacting for 6 months.
No,
which is hilarious. It's been going on. It's been going on for 6 months, but they've never had a. They've only had that limited interaction in the Rumble, and then a very limited physical interaction. Otherwise, to the level of what Punk is able to do. But this feud's been going on for 6 months. It's hilarious. It's very well done. It's a great feud. So once again, SummerSlam shouldn't just be one and done. It's SummerSlam either. But that part is great because it's just like we'll be soon. First match, McIntyre out of the title twice in three weeks. Queen McIntyre beats the hell out of Punk. It's just like we gotta get this story at some point.
Yeah, that's why it does feel like he is getting close to returning,
yeah.
But. Yeah, so that kind of ties up all things around all of the Money in the Bank matches.
Well, not particular. Well, the Money in the Bank ladder matches, you mean?
Yeah, the ladder matches.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, we can go into the other matches at Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I guess I forgot that. It's almost should be a preview show, because I was going to talk about some other stuff.
Well, there's nothing really left on SmackDown, and Raw was very, very Judgment Day heavy, and that leads us very much into talking about the main event of this show.
There was just a whole lot of Judgment Day involved in this show, and I was almost ready to start at the top. Well, yeah, the main event was McIntyre and them, so
main event was McIntyre, yes.
But Dominic Mysterio, Rey Mysterio, because that was not the first thing up.
No.
Liv Morgan,
Zelina Vega match came first, but before that was a segment where Liv was in the clubhouse. Yeah, with everyone having a good old time. It's weird to the point where it's like everyone has accepted her except Damian Priest, and Priest is never going to because he's always going to be loyal to Rhea. And it revealed that Dominic has not talked to Rhea since this whole Liv Morgan thing started, so that's going to be a problem. And then we've got to the Liv Morgan Zelina Vega match. Liv Morgan, no surprise, retains, but Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio get involved. Zelina Vega, I did like this, that Zelina taking out Dominic with a chair, and that leading to Liv being so angry. she immediately hit her finish on Zelina and won.
Everything surrounding that, just going with Zelina kicking Dom into Liv and them falling on the ground like they had a week or two ago. I don't remember exactly.
But this time with Dominic on top.
So they did a nice little role reversal situation prior to that. And then, like you said, that ending, Liv hulking up because her poor Dom got hurt is hilarious. Liv Morgan continues to be unhinged in the most pleasant way possible. that story definitely is moving along quite well, and then we also got a little Seth Rollins Damian Priest showdown also.
Yes. The main event of Money in the Bank has huge stakes with Damian Priest leaving the bloodline if he loses. And of course, Rollins not being able to get a chance at the world title as long as Priest is champion, which that doesn't have as deep a stakes because if Priest somehow does sneak past Rollins, he's losing it at SummerSlam anyway.
It's definitely an interesting setup that they.
It is an interesting setup because they could do because I guess it could go either way. It feels weird to bring back Rollins like this if he's going to lose again, because we sent him away with, you know, two losses in a row basically. I mean he got his hero moment, but his hero moment was getting beat up again, so someone else could win a match.
When you take the spear to cause the victory for someone else, like
he took the chair. He took the chair.
Yeah.
So it feels like if you were just gonna set up a scenario for Priest to have a match where at Money in the Bank where he could have won, then you know Braun Strowman was right there involved in the Judgment Day storyline. It just could have been him. So I'm still for that reason of just, you know, where do you go with Seth? Who does Seth face at SummerSlam if he's not in the world title match? I'm gonna pick Seth because there really isn't anywhere for Seth to go in the immediate. So why would you even bring him back if he's not gonna win?
It's really felt like a Seth win ever since he made the surprise return.
Yeah, it does feel that way. I mean, they could try to do something, but again, I have no idea who he would face at SummerSlam, and you know, and Priest and Gunther is still kind of a weird heel versus heel match too, and because Priest hasn't fully changed face yet. You know, obviously that's coming, and it could come as soon as Monday's Raw if he does lose and he's, you know, not only forced to leave the Judgment Day, but they beat him down on the way out.
Being the leader of Judgment Day has not been a good spot to be in.
No, it has not. So yeah, I'm picking Seth to win. It's because once again, this whole thing of Damian saying that he doesn't need the Judgment Day, they need him. Finn Balor's part in all the look Finn Balor gave Damian Priest as he was walking away, as he was checking on him, because of course Finn Balor took the worst of the confrontation in the ring on Monday.
Yeah.
And then of course Priest saying, "Hey, you know, I got to do this on my own. You understand, right?" And putting out the fist for the fist bump, but there being no fist bump, and instead of a glare.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what that means. It either means they're going to help him. They're actually going to try and help him win, or they're actively going to try and screw him over.
I mean, it's certainly been moving towards him either getting screwed over or he is just for some reason out of the plans of the rest of Judgment Day. Because there definitely seems to be something up with, like you said, like Liv is in the clubhouse and everyone's cool with it except for Damian Priest.
Right.
Like it. Yeah, there definitely seems to be some smaller plans going around and some larger plans. And,
And it does feel like Finn Balor is the one kind of, masterminding things, or I'm not sure if it's supposed to be him. It's a little confusing as whether it's supposed to be him or if Liv is the one really, you know, masterminding things. Or maybe a little of both, because once again, Finn did take that hotel key, and maybe him and Liv came to an understanding that night.
Because he did not seem to be for her, but all of a sudden she helps them win the tag team championships, and he's letting her in the clubhouse, no questions asked. So it is as good a theory as any. You know, they've left enough breadcrumbs out there for that to be the truth.
Right. And once again, as I said, Seth has seemingly no obvious opponent for SummerSlam if he's not in the world title match against Gunther. And again, it does feel like that's just a bigger match to do, so you might as well do it. at the second biggest show of the year in a stadium that big. You know, all respect to Priest, but Priest has something to do. He could then be involved in the Judgment Day. He could wrestle Finn in a singles match, or get some partners, or there's a number of things he can do heading into SummerSlam and beyond. Versus Seth, who doesn't seem to have wouldn't seem to have much going, because there's really Drew's going to be married to Punk. Gunther is going to be, probably going to end up the champion at some point. The rest of the Judgment Day is, Rollins is beating them all.
Yeah,
over and over again. Especially
beneath
Finn.
Him.
Yeah, so the heel situation on Raw, they're really, other than maybe Braun Breaker, but then that involves Seth then having to, go down to the Intercontinental title level. So, yeah. Is Seth Rollins versus Braun Breaker going to happen at some point? Yes, but it will be for, the world title at some point when Braun's ready for that. It's not going to be Seth going down to the Intercontinental title level, I don't think.
Yeah, you could sell me on Seth being the impediment to Braun getting to a championship matchup too, if circumstances dictate that. I guess speaking of Braun, that is the only match we have not talked about. Braun Breaker versus Sami Zayn.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting match. It's a very quick, push and title match for Braun Breaker. He did get the last word on Monday, which sometimes is a bad omen for the result of your championship match at the pay-per-view. But at the same time, they've not really made him particularly vulnerable in this entire run so far.
Oh. No,
not
he
even
is, looks
some,
like a
some
beast.
Big boy, some of the big boys like Sheamus, yes. I mean, Sheamus was the closest thing. That was a competitive match. That wasn't, he wasn't being run over. I mean, and Kaiser got involved to go after Sheamus, just to go after Sheamus. He wasn't, Braun really wasn't in any kind of compromising position where he was going to lose. They made that clear. So in spite of traditional booking tropes, I'm still going to say that Braun Breaker is going to win the title, because could he lose and then come back and win it again? And then the next time, yeah. But why hurt his momentum at all? Why risk hurting his momentum at all? I mean, Sami Zayn is basically Teflon as far as how he can come back from a loss and whatever. He's not that guy. He's not your indestructible babyface superhero. He takes his lump and he keeps getting back up. That's his thing.
And I mean, he literally said that on Raw this week, where
it's what he
more
said.
About
and
how
you know
I've
what?
Gotten back up than how
and,
many
you know,
wins I've gotten.
And the
you could make
an argument that the Intercontinental Championship is beneath him too.
And I believe we've made that argument on this show. So
this is an argument that's been made many times,
podcast,
mostly by Jeremy Mays. Expressing his dismay at the result of the match at WrestleMania, which you didn't have to deal with, I did.
Oh man, yep, he's a character. I think that wraps up the Money in the Bank preview. There wasn't really anything else on Raw that was worth talking about, was there? Because the Wyatt Six stuff we kind of covered already. Like,
yeah, we covered that. Yep. That's been covered. Yeah. I think we're pretty good with WWE stuff. I mean, I guess we could do a little AEW wrap up of just what we've heard about what's happened, if you want. I mean, I guess the biggest news coming out of Forbidden Door and the return of Britt Baker.
That was the biggest news and confirmation of something that we have been talking about, because Mercedes Moné is with it's the TBS. Yeah, TBS Championship.
TBS Championship.
She is the main attraction with the secondary title.
Yes. It does feel that way. Yes, I mean, is all for all the titillation and humor you can get from the Toni Storm storyline, and Yeah, definitely get some, definitely titillation. Maybe we'll get to that in a minute.
Yes. Yeah,
It feels like this is going to be the TBS championship is going to be the serious women's championship. Yeah, that you as amusing as it can be, ending up in the Tony Storm, the timeless Tony Storm vortex can be bad for your career. Everyone she's lost to is worse off than they were.
oof, yeah.
Deonna, oh God, Serena Deeb, all of them. Serena Deeb was a mistake in the first place, but still, it still counts. Deonna was
Right.
Deonna's probably the worst one of somebody who just lost all of their momentum dealing with Tony. Say Antonio Rosa, you literally within a month of
Oh.
returning is just reduced to nothing, basically.
Yeah,
After being off for a year.
those two came well, yeah. Thunder Rosa came back with momentum. Deonna Purrazzo's like, hey, look, we have this great new women's signing, and then immediately loses in a championship match. It's
Yeah,
like,
so it wouldn't surprise me since I believe Mercedes and Britt, kayfabe breaking, are legitimately good friends and have been for a while. They've known each other and they were seen at what was it? They were with Bailey at a 49ers game or something like a while back that picture was going around. Or the Super was it the Super Bowl? I think it was the Super Bowl they all went to together, actually.
That would make a great deal of sense.
Yeah, so once again, it wouldn't surprise me if they essentially got together with Tony Khan and were like, okay, we neither of us are getting involved with this time Tony Storm bullshit. We're gonna be feuding with each other, ready to do something. And you know what? It's a good play. It's the match to book. It's the match to Rick Mercedes in, and it's the match to return Britt Baker in because once again, it gives Britt Baker's been gone so long. She now has this new opponent who's a big name from the other company, even though she can't use that name. It's something. It's definitely something you can have as an attraction heading into Wembley. Yes, and I don't think the match is going to happen before that either, and it shouldn't.
No, it's one of the few big matches that they can go with. Like, yeah, it's been wild that Britt Baker has been out this long, quite frankly.
That's going to be a story because I never heard anything about what the original injury was. So it's a, yeah, I'll definitely be on the look, if she doesn't need, those type of sit down interviews with Shivani or something, or even, a legit, podcast or radio interview or something where she really gets in detail about what's exactly happened to her over the last year because there were the injury was never explained, and there were definitely a lot of wild rumors and speculation regarding her and her place in AEW, whether she was happy with
Yeah.
everything, if her and Tony Khan had a falling out. There was also a lot of that speculation.
Yeah, well, and even I feel like Tony Khan was asked that at a few pay-per-view questions, like, where the hell's Britt Baker? And she's like, oh, whatever. Like, he gives some non-answer answer
Yeah, I mean,
to
once again,
it.
if it's a deeply personal thing, she doesn't have to. Obviously doesn't have to share all the details, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, but it'd be nice to kind of know something. But you know what? She's been gone so long that so many of the people who were unhappy to see her, who were not fans of hers, are actually now happy to see her. So that's once again, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and a lot of people, don't. A lot of people don't find that much amusement in the timeless Tony Storm gimmick, and that it's past its expiration date, and it's just a one note joke and all that. Where so you can at least get some a serious women's feud here for the TBS Championship.
It'll really be interesting just to see how that it should be a good ish matchup on the mic. I guess we've kind of talked about Mercedes maybe needing a little more reining in instead of these long speeches. Should be a good match in the end, and they had best hold that out for quite at least a long time in AEW time, like till two pay-per-views is like 5 dog years to AEW. So,
Well, they're not on pay-per-view again until Wembley anyway, so which is still almost 2 months away. So yeah, that's fine.
yeah, that's good news for them. Because, oh yeah, because they've given themselves a week break now. That's right. For those other the not back-to-back pay-per-views
Yeah,
now.
and they're not running a pay-per-view. Well, AEW is not running a pay-per-view in July. Our ROH is running in one, but nobody cares about that. And they're gonna, it was the next thing for AEW that they're gonna build into a big deal is, I think, Nashville for Blood and Guts is next, for as an episode of Dynamite.
Oh,
They'll make
yeah.
that a big. They'll kind of be the plate in place of a pay-per-view for the month. And since there won't be one in July, which had fine. I think AEW could definitely use to take, month or two between pay-per-views at the very least. Then I guess the next thing for them, unless if you want to keep going, I don't really care. I mean,
Yeah, well, I had one other story
go for it.
that I really cared about, honestly, because well, and it was also the main event, and
Yeah.
something that you and I had talked about, and I think Jeremy and I had talked about. It definitely seemed like Will Ospreay was the man destined to beat Swerve Strickland, and it was interesting when I saw the A. I did read all the results Monday morning. I did not check in on them Sunday night, but I did take a quick look, and I was like, "Oh, Swerve ended up winning." So I thought that was a pretty pleasant surprise.
Yeah, Swerve needed a big win, without a doubt. Yes, Swerve definitely needed to win. You could argue whether or not it needed to be against Ospreay, taking a loss like this clean. But yeah, it's what they decided to do. It definitely allowed Swerve to get that big win though. So that is very, very important.
Yeah, and this was not completely surprising news to me. It says from Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com, Will Ospreay wanted to eliminate the talking point of Swerve being a placeholder for him until All In. If Will Ospreay is the man that talked sense into Tony Khan and said, "Hey, this guy needs a legit title reign." I'm just gonna say that Will Ospreay has more sense than a lot of the people over there.
Yeah, in a way, it definitely does. I mean, and it's an unselfish thing to do. So good on him. But
Yes.
now we're getting deep into the Owen. There's this wild card, but the Elite has said that they're picking the wild card, so it's probably not going to be Will Ospreay. So there is no, if we're going under that idea.
Oh.
There is no way for Ospreay to be in the main event of All In against Swerve. Unless somehow the wild card thing changes. But then you're putting him against Jeff Jarrett, who's like the sentimental favorite in this tournament now with his connection to Owen. So
Oh.
that's not a great, him be him. I don't think Jeff Jarrett's winning the tournament. But the person who's
That
going to
would
beat
be
him
wild.
is, I don't think he's winning, but I don't think you let you have a babyface beat him though, because for the purpose of this tournament he is going to be a huge babyface. Yeah, I think
Oh.
you let him at least get. I think you. I do. Maybe it'll be like some goofy thing, and it's like the Elite puts Brandon Cutler in the match, and so Jarrett can just beat him. So at least Jarrett gets one win in this tournament.
That would be funny in its own way. I don't really want to see that, but I can see the entertainment value.
Yeah, because yeah, we've as I said, we've definitely they've definitely set up Jeff Jarrett as the sentimental favorite here. So it's like you can't
Yeah.
just have some babyface come in and beat him clean. And once again, you could do that later in the tournament, but not for the first round. So
Oh,
I
right.
don't know. Maybe it isn't Ospreay versus Swerve at All In. Maybe that was never that isn't the plan, or even was never the plan. It was just people
Oh.
making assumptions.
Yeah. Or I still have to question whether Tony Khan books that far in advance or not. Like,
Because
and
maybe
until
I
I'm
didn't.
given proof otherwise,
Yeah, I know.
the
Because wait a minute. You
speculation
know
is
what?
still
Maybe
out for me.
I did watch Collision. At least fast forward through it, because now, because I do remember the, because we're all, because we are hyping the return of Hangman now. We have started doing that. There was a video for that. So, and so obviously he's gonna want to go after Swerve immediately. There's no reason for him not to. And we've been doing all this stuff, this dancing around between Ospreay and Daniel Garcia and MJF the last couple of weeks. You know, why have we been having MJF and Ospreay staring each other down if that match isn't going to happen anytime soon?
It's a good question. I mean, you could definitely have Ospreay in a big match still at Wembley without it being, well, yeah, the International Championship isn't nothing, but it's still weird that it's their probably their second biggest belt now.
Well, no,
Well, not
that's the
probably.
TNT. Well, the
It's
TNT
definitely this.
Championship kind of is, but the way Adam Copeland had to lose it and vacate it, and now it's on Jack Perry, who's just eh.
Well, and I still wasn't a big fan. Like, as much as I liked the Christian act, I don't think it did the championship any good. You know, the belt
No.
itself, like, especially that feud with him and Adam Copeland, it just seemed personal beyond the championship.
No, it never seemed like. And once he won the title, Adam Copeland did try to make it important. But there's only so much a guy in his 50s can do. And, there's a reason that we never put a title on him in his last run, too.
Well, and I don't want to say that he's been prone to injuries, but the man has ended up with two major injuries since his return from neck injury.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. So yeah. So yeah,
In
no.
a not
I mean, the
long time
TNT
period.
Championship has been taking hits ever since all that deal. Well, the TNT Championship has really been taking hits probably since Miro lost it. It really, and Darby Allin had it, and then Sammy Guevara, and crap. Who am I even thinking about?
I don't know. I'm not even looking up that lineage right now.
Right.
Or
Yeah,
maybe I
man.
should.
I should too.
Oh man. Let's. Oh God. Can you not? Can you just give me a list? I just need a. Oh my God. The fact that it has belt designs like multiple.
Scorpius, yeah. From Sammy Guevara to Scorpio Sky. Back to Sammy Guevara, to Scorpio Sky, then to Wardlow. Then we're really to the point where Wardlow wins it, loses it, and wins it back like three times.
Oh,
That
yeah.
is what. And then ends up on Luchasaurus during that run where Christian said he was the champion until Christian was actually the champion. Yeah, this title has
Oh.
been taking hits since, let's see, since
It's
Cody
been.
Rhodes left. This title has been taking some hits.
Oof,
And that
that's.
and that, that's 2.5 years ago now. Yeah, this title has not been real has not really been your second championship for a very long time now. It has been the national title because of the work that Orange Cassidy put in. Yes.
Yeah, so I mean I guess Will Ospreay being on the all-in card, I guess, you know, to kind of get back to the point, Will Ospreay being the you know, kind of the secondary championship with, you know, it does give MJF something to do without being in the main championship picture. You know, but so yeah. It could work. Like that could end up working for All In to have another match, because we definitely know that Tony Khan is not shy. If you want to give him any type of credit, which I don't tend to do, but Hey, yeah, if you pay $50 for the pay-per-view, that man is going to pack on as many matches as humanly possible for your $50 to make it quote unquote worth
Oh yeah.
it. So, yeah, I'm not terribly worried about card length, I guess, for All In. So, they can get Ospreay in there and maybe just have Swerve and Daniel Bryan, be the matchup. I'm okay with that. Daniel Bryan against pretty much anyone in this run. It's again one of those few things that is, well, outside of his Blackpool Combat Club involvement, the Danielson stuff has been pretty good. So,
Right, yeah.
yeah, but I guess that's all that I at least wanted to cover in AEW. Was there anything else on that card that you wanted to talk about before we punch on out of this thing?
I think we are good.
Okie dokie. The bell time beer for this show is from Evergreen Brewing in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, which is just outside of Harrisburg. The name of the beer is Ominous Music Intensifies. It is a black IPA. I got it when I traveled there last year. Evergreen Brewing is very, very tasty. I love black IPAs. You get the nice roasted malt flavor from the dark beer. You also get some hoppiness in there, but it's also a little bit more muted than it would be normally under IPA conditions because there's a lighter malt involved. So, yeah, I do really dig black IPAs. This is a very good one. Should one find themselves in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, go visit Evergreen Brewing. It is a very, very good place, and they have a great outdoor space. So, this time of the year, perfect time to head on over to Evergreen Brewing. So, that is the hashtag Belltime Beer of this year podcast from at DeFrango11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any other locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.